Christ, the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for your helps we have received. Thank you for breakthroughs you have released into our lives. Thank you for fighting our battles. Thank you, Lord, for your strength that is working in us, making us to do all things right in your sight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the grace to know you very closely. You have given us such grace. Thank you for the grace to hear from you, to get divine messages, divine revelations from you. Thank you also for the grace to grow in the knowledge of you. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for how you have changed our lives. We know how we were before we met you. And we know how we are right now. You have changed our lives from what we used to be to a completely new creature that we have today. Thank you, Father, for such wonder you have performed in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for how you forgave our sins and how you decided to set us apart from multitudes in the world. And you made our spirits your habitation. And from the time we met you, our lives has never remained the same. You have opened our eyes to see many wonderful things in your kingdom. You have taught us righteousness. You have given us a heart of obedience. Helped us to attain and to accomplish great things. Thank you, Father. I ask, O Lord, that even as we would be learning once again at your feet, I ask that you pour out your spirit upon us, especially your spirit of wisdom and understanding, so that we can know you deeper, and so that we can understand the spiritual realms more than before. Pour out your spirit upon us. Pour out your grace upon us. And make us understand even beyond what we will be hearing tonight. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. And I believe as you pay attention to everything I will be saying, the Lord will bless you. So we are going to move to the next point. The last point we considered was witchcraft and character. Witchcraft and character. So we saw how witchcraft can be manifested through negative attitudes, ungodly attitudes, toxic character, unclean character, unrighteous character. So we saw how witchcraft can be demonstrated through the lives of people who are not pure in their character. Yeah. And then we also saw how our negative character can lead to practical witchcraft. Now, what I mean by practical witchcraft, I mean seeking witch doctors, going after witch doctors, going after demonic agents, seeking demons, or consulting demons, consulting fallen angels, consulting Satan, or going to Satan for some interventions. So we saw how negative character would lead a man to begin to consult demonic altars and satanic altars and even witch doctors. So today we'll be looking at witchcraft and bloodline. Witchcraft and bloodline. This particular topic is going to be showing you how witchcraft runs in the blood. And how witchcraft can be inherited by blood. That is the fact that your ancestors had witchcraft in their blood, or the fact that they practiced witchcraft, can make you to have the spirit of witchcraft in your blood. Though you were not there when they practiced witchcraft, you were not there when they went into covenant with gods and goddesses and principalities and powers of darkness. But the fact that you came from that family line already make you a carrier of witchcraft spirit in your blood. The fact that you came from that family line already make you a carrier of witchcraft in your blood. So today we have many Christians who have witchcraft in their blood. Yeah, because their ancestors practiced witchcraft. Or their parents or grandparents practiced witchcraft. Yeah, I know you might be saying that, hold on, Pastor. Doesn't the word of God say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 that if any man be in Christ, is a new creature, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If the word of God says so, why do you say that we have Christians with witchcraft in their blood? Are you saying that that scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17, are you saying it's not true? Of course I'm not saying that. I'm not saying the word of God is not true. Yeah. That verse of the Bible is true. Indeed, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. All the ancestral curses, covenants, witchcraft, they have passed away. And all things have become new. Yes, that word is true. But the question is, have you prevailed? Have you prevailed to the point where you are now, or you are being transformed into the new creature? 2 Corinthians 5:17 talked about. Have you prevailed to the point of transformation into the new creature that Bible says we become in Christ? Have you fought and have you prevailed? Yeah, because one thing that I know about darkness is that darkness will not let go of your life until they see power. Yeah, devil will not leave you alone until you show them power. Yeah, until you show them that they don't belong in your life. Until you show them that they can't operate in your life. They will remain there. Though they know that you are a Christian, and they know that you are now a new creature in Christ. Yeah, but they also know that you must conquer them before you will walk in the reality of that new creature that you are in Christ. I mean, they know that you must conquer them before you become that new creature indeed. I mean, before you start manifesting that newness of nature in Christ, that new person that you are in Christ, before you change into that new person, they know that you must win them. Yeah, so if you are saying that I cannot have witchcraft in my blood, I am a child of God, and then the Bible says that I'm a new creature. Yeah, and then you don't pray till you become that new creature. You're just deceiving yourself. Because that witchcraft in your blood will stay there. Yeah, so all the realities in Christ and all the realities in the kingdom of God that are meant for us to function in or walk in or change into, all those realities they will not manifest until we have prevailed. Yeah, until we have prevailed to the point of their manifestation in our lives. I don't know if you're getting my point. Yeah, what I'm saying is that you must exercise the authority that you have in Christ to walk in the realities that you have in Christ. You must exercise the authority that you have in Christ. Devil knows that. He knows that he's not supposed to be in your life. He's not supposed to operate in your life. But he will not lead your life until you command him to go. I'm trying to make my explanation very simple. Yeah, he will not leave your life until you command him to go. So you must exercise that authority. You must fight till you begin to see yourself transformed, delivered, healed. Or if you just sit down and say, let this sickness go, the Bible says I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Or you sit down and say, let this oppression go. The Bible says that I have been delivered and I have been translated into the kingdom of God. Yeah, and then you don't do anything. You don't pray. You don't fight the darkness. They will not leave. The sickness will not leave. The possession, the demonic possession will not leave your life. The oppression will not leave. Yeah, the darkness will not leave. Yeah, so that was why I said that we have Christians today, we even have pastors with witchcraft in their blood because their ancestors practiced witchcraft. Yeah, and they are now manifesting witchcraft because it's in their blood. Now, I'm going to tell you some things. Do you know that some believers and ministers of God today, they are now having problems with the Holy Spirit and with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because they have not dealt with the witchcraft they inherited from their ancestors. They have not overcome that witchcraft that is in their blood. Yeah, some believers they find it difficult to obey the voice and instructions of the Holy Spirit because there is witchcraft in their blood. And you know that one of the characteristics of witchcraft is rebellion. Rebellion against God. Disobedience to God. So because of that pollution in their blood, you know that our blood runs through our all the organs in our bodies. Your blood is what supply nutrients to all the organs in your body, including your brain, your nerves, your spinal cord, all your vital organs, your liver, kidney, your heart, your lungs. Every part of your body is your blood that gives life to them. So, and that is why if you bleed out and there is no way to to pump blood back into your system, you die immediately. Yeah. So now, because that blood that is flowing through your body is spiritually corrupt, there's a spirit of witchcraft that is inside that you have gotten from your ancestors, because it was being passed from your ancestors to your grandparents, and then from your grandparents to your own parents, and then your parents transferred it to you when they gave birth to you. So that witchcraft pollution in your blood is able to make you a rebellious Christian. Yeah, and you keep wondering, why is it that it's a war obeying the voice of God? Yeah, maybe you have been thinking, why is it so difficult for me to believe anything the Holy Spirit tells me? Why is it so difficult for me to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, the instructions of the Holy Spirit? Maybe it's because there is witchcraft in your blood that you have inherited from your ancestors. Yeah, you might be asking, why is it that if friends or anybody I love tell me to do something, I easily do it. But when God tells me to do something, I find it difficult to do it. I struggle to do it. Maybe it's because there's witchcraft in your blood. And not only that, some Christians, their spiritual gift is now malfunctioning, because they have not dealt with the witchcraft in their blood. They have not prevailed over that witchcraft bloodline. Yeah. Now, let me give you an example. We have some believers that are hearing another voice. And they will hear that voice very clearly. But that voice is not the voice of God. I don't know if you are getting my point. They will hear the voice very clearly, and the voice will speak like the voice of God, but it is not the voice of God. It is the voice of witchcraft that is in their blood, that they have inherited from their ancestors, and they did not know. Yeah. So sometimes that spirit of witchcraft can give you visions, can give you dreams, can give you revelations, and you might think that it is the Holy Spirit, or it is the spiritual gift that is in your life. But it is not. It is witchcraft. Yeah. Now, let me give you an example. I heard of the story of a brother who was told that he has a prophetic calling, and that he carries prophetic gifts and anointing. And of course, he also have been seeing those signs that he carries the prophetic grace, in quotes. Yeah. Now, he met this prophet. And the prophet said that, I can see that you're finding it difficult to operate in your prophetic gifts. You don't see visions as you should see. You don't get revelations as you should get. You don't hear God's voice as you should. So the prophet said, it's because you have not you have not appeased the gods of your ancestors. He said it's because he has not appeased the gods of his ancestors, so that he needs to go to the village and appease those gods, that they are the ones that are not allowing his gifts to function. Yeah, and the foolish brother followed the counsel of that prophet, and he went to the village and appeased the gods as instructed. And then he realized that immediately after he had done those rituals, he began to really see visions. I mean, he no longer struggled to see visions. He no longer struggled to know what is happening in people's lives, even by looking at them. Immediately after he appeased the gods of his ancestors, all his prophetic gifts now began to function like very fast. He began to see into the realms of the spirit. He began to, you know, prophesy, and all his prophecies were accurate. Yeah. But one thing was standing out while he was doing those manifestations. One thing stood out, and that is the fact that God was absent. The presence of God was absent. The presence of the Holy Spirit was absent in his gifts. But the witchcraft in his blood was able to make him prophesy accurately, see very clear visions. I mean, when you see visions with your eyes open, that was how the brother was seeing visions. All his gifts were functioning with sharp accuracy. But God was not there. So when he realized that God was not there, that he had entered into trouble, that was when he now began to run back to God, asking God to deliver him. Yeah, because he wasn't supposed to go and do those rituals the false prophet told him to do. I don't know if you are getting my point. Yeah, so if we don't deal with this bloodline witchcraft, it can corrupt our spiritual gifts. It can corrupt our prophetic abilities. Like your ability to hear from God, or maybe I should call it, it can corrupt your relationship with God, especially the communication part of your relationship with God. Yeah, it can corrupt many things in your spirit. In fact, you would not even know when you are doing the devil's bidding. And then you will think it is God leading you, but it's another spirit. Yeah. I hope you understand. Let us look at some scriptures. Yeah, to back up what I've been saying. In Genesis chapter 6, I quoted this scripture when I was talking about the whole witchcraft. So we're going to look at the same scripture again. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Yeah, many of you know this story. This was what happened before God destroyed the whole world with flood. This happened in the days of Noah. The fallen angels, they entered into the earth as at that time, and they began to have sexual intercourse with the daughters of human beings. You know, they were not humans, but through witchcraft, they were able to make themselves look like humans. So that they materialized into a human form. Yeah, though they were not humans. So, and that means they did not have the blood of humans, because they were fallen angels. Yeah, some people say they were watchers. And later, I think the book of Enoch say those giants, those angels, God sent them into the earth to watch over the affairs of men, and then while they were carrying out the duties, they now went into sexual immorality with humans. Yeah, but that is not the truth. Yeah. That is not the truth. The truth is that they have already fallen. Those angels mentioned in that verse, they have already fallen. Yeah. They have already fallen from the kingdom of God. Yeah, so it was after they are falling that they now devised that plan to interbreed with human beings, to mix with human beings, to mix their blood with human beings. And I said it when I was talking on the origin of witchcraft. I said that witchcraft started with those fallen angels. In Genesis chapter 6. Yeah, witchcraft started with them. So they were the originators of witchcraft. Yeah, because witchcraft means that it means turning light into darkness. Yeah. That's another definition of witchcraft. Turning light into darkness. Or maybe I should say that was how witchcraft started. They turned the abilities of God. I mean, I'm referring to those angels. They turned the abilities of God. They inherited from God, because God created them as powerful beings. God created angels as powerful beings and as highly intelligent beings. So, the power they were given by God, the intelligence they were given by God, the wisdom they were given by God, the light they were given by God, they changed it into darkness. Yeah, that is how the practice of witchcraft began. So it began when the fallen angels turned into darkness, when their light, when the light of the fallen angels and the light inside the fallen angels turned into darkness. That was when witchcraft began. Yeah, but don't forget that they got that light from God. Initially, I mean, they got this from God. They got that power from God, that intelligence from God. So now they corrupted it. They turned it into darkness. Yeah, so which means that they can still do miracles. They can still do wonders. Because they could do it when they were in the light. So now that they are in the darkness, they can still do signs and wonders through witchcraft. But it would be to work against the kingdom of God. Yeah, so God did not take their powers from them. He didn't take their abilities from them. I hope you get it. So now, through witchcraft, those fallen angels, or maybe I should say through their dark powers, they were able to make themselves look like humans. And they began to mix with human blood through sex. Yeah, so from that time, witchcraft began to spread into human, witchcraft began to spread through human blood. From the time the fallen angels slept with the daughters of men, witchcraft began to spread through human blood. Yeah, then you might say, didn't God destroy all of them? Yes, God destroyed all those giants and all the human beings with flood. But don't forget that God spared the family of Noah. So somewhere inside the children of Noah or the family of Noah, that blood was still hiding somewhere. Yeah, because if you look at other places in the Bible, the Bible told us of a tribe called Anakim. Yeah, like the sons of Anak. I don't know if you have come across that place in the Bible. Yeah, the Bible says that giants come from that tribe. Yeah, so those sons of Anak were the giants that occupied or that were in Jericho. Yeah. Those sons of Anak were the giants in Jericho that scared the 12 spies, or maybe 10 out of the 12 spies God Joshua sent to spy the land of Jericho. So when they saw those giants in Jericho and in other places in the land of Canaan, they were scared. So they went back and told Moses that we were like grasshoppers before those hefty men. So we can't go and conquer those people. They are too stronger than us. But Joshua and Caleb said, no, let us go immediately. God has given us the land. You know the rest of the story. Yeah, so you should ask a question. Now, where does those giants came from? The Bible told us that all the giants in the days of Noah, they were all drowned in by the flood. So it was only the family of Noah that survived. So if that is true, then where does those giants came from that we later saw in the Bible when the children of Israel were going to conquer Jericho? In fact, where was giants like Goliath and all those all other giants in the land of Philistine? Or where do they come from? So it means they have been in the bloodline. It means they were in the bloodline of the sons of Noah. Those giants that we saw in Philistine, or those giants that the Bible told us were in the land of Philistines, which Goliath was one of them, and even the ones that were in the land of Jericho and many other places. Those giants were inside the blood of the sons of Noah. Yeah, they were already inside the blood of the sons of Noah. So eventually later they had to manifest. That is, after the sons of Noah began to also give birth, and their children began to give birth, and their children's children began to give birth. Those giants came into the scene eventually. So now, my point is that there is a lot of evil that flows through our blood. Yeah. A lot of evil. And this is why you as a Christian, you must let the Lord rule your life. You must surrender all to Jesus. Let Him rule your life. Don't believe in your nature. Don't believe in your human nature. Your human nature is extremely wicked. So don't trust in your flesh. Because we have an ancestral history of wickedness. All of us. Yeah. We are connected to a bloodline that is so polluted, that is full of so many evils. Yeah. All of us, all human beings, we all have history of wickedness, witchcraft, rebellion in our ancestral lineage. Yeah, so that is why you must not think you can rule your life by yourself. Don't follow what your body is telling you. Don't follow what your human nature is telling you. Yeah, don't follow the dictates of your flesh, because it will not lead you into anything good, yeah, it will not. It will not. Now, you may be asking that, since have I not know the level of darkness in my blood, how do I fight this bloodline witchcraft? Yeah, maybe I have a lot of it in my blood. How do I fight this bloodline witchcraft? The first way to overcome bloodline witchcraft, or to overcome witchcraft in the blood, to completely subdue it and eliminate it, is to deny your flesh. Deny yourself. Deny the dictates of your flesh. Don't do what your nature is telling you to do. Don't do it. Yeah, I mean what your sinful nature, your Adamic nature is telling you to do. Don't do it. That is the first thing in overcoming witchcraft in the blood. Yeah, don't yield to the desires of your flesh. Yeah, don't forget that when the Bible was talking about the works of the flesh, Don't forget that the Bible mentioned witchcraft as part of the works or the manifestations of the spirit of flesh. Maybe I should read it. So those works of the flesh also means manifestations of the spirit of the flesh. You know, just as when you have malaria, when you have a disease, there will be symptoms of that disease. Like if you have malaria, you will have headaches, you will have a high body temperature, and sometimes maybe low body temperature. So the same applies to when your life is being controlled by the flesh, by your sinful nature, by your human nature, by your Adamic nature, there will be symptoms. So those are the works of the flesh. There will be manifestations. And the Bible said witchcraft is part of the manifestations of the flesh. It's part of the works of the flesh. I'm reading from Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, I will read verse 20. Yeah, it says idolatry is part of those manifestations of the flesh. And then it says witchcraft. Galatians 5, verse 20. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Yeah. So the first remedy for getting rid of witchcraft in your blood is to deny yourself. Deny your flesh. Come out on the realm of the flesh. Don't let your human nature, your sinful nature. Now, maybe you are thinking, what is wrong with the human nature? And why did you conclude it, that the human nature is equal to darkness? Yeah, the human nature, no matter how nice it might look or manifest, is not acceptable in the kingdom of God. If the human nature could save humans, if our being nice, or maybe I should call it niceness, if our niceness and good, in quotes, good attitudes, if they could save us and take us to heaven, there wouldn't be any need for Jesus to come and die for us on the cross of Calvary. So it means God already concluded that there is nothing good in human nature. Even if we try to be good, even if we try to be nice, God and heaven already judged the human nature to be corrupt and unclean and unacceptable. So the only way to please God is to yield to the desires of the Spirit. Yield to the desires of the Holy Spirit and deny your Adamic nature, your human nature, which is also your sinful nature. Yeah, so don't yield to the dictates of your body. Don't yield to the dictates of your feelings and emotions. Yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. That is the first way to get rid of witchcraft in your blood. You cannot follow the desires of your flesh and think that the journey of your life will end well. It cannot end well. Yeah, don't let anyone deceive you. You can't follow the desires of your flesh and think the journey of your life will end well. It can't end well. Yeah, because inside your flesh is the greatest darkness of all. So which includes witchcraft. Yeah, we have talked about how hunger, pride, disobedience. We've talked about how those behaviors, how they help the spirit of witchcraft to succeed. Yeah, we've talked about it during the last teaching. Yeah, you know, there are some people even in the church, even among Christians, they are so full of themselves that they have made themselves a small god. Yeah, and this is one of the things they do. They will say that don't ever get me hungry. Because anyone I get hungry heart, bad things happen to them. Yeah. So they tell people that don't ever make me get hungry. Don't ever offend me, because anyone that I get hungry heart, bad things happen to them. Even some prophets, they will say, don't offend me. If I curse you, you will just disappear. You will just die. That is witchcraft. Yeah. So if you notice that anyone you get angry with, or you get angry at, bad things happen to them, then you should go on fasting. You go on serious fastings, because it means that's a confirmation that there is witchcraft in your blood. Yeah, it means you're a murderer. Yeah, before God, it means you're a murderer. Yeah, because something in your blood is killing people, and then you think that is power. Yeah, that means I'm powerful. Because anyone that offends me, they die. Or something bad happened to them. That is not power. That is witchcraft. I mean, that's not God's power. It's witchcraft. Yeah. So we must not give in to the flesh. Or else, all those evils in our blood that we have inherited, they will come back to life. Yeah, there is still another scripture we are going to look at. But before then, I want to mention this. Sometime ago, I was asking God that, why is it difficult for some people to overcome generational curses, ancestral curses, ancestral slavery, ancestral covenants? And what I mean by ancestral is that what was passed into your life from your ancestors, all the curses, the covenants of darkness you inherited through blood from your ancestors. So I was asking God that, why is it so difficult for people, or I mean for some people, to overcome those generational demonic influences on their lives? Yeah, and the Lord told me that all of those ancestral curses, ancestral covenants, ancestral witchcraft, He said all of them have been wrapped up inside our flesh. Yeah, as in, they have been wrapped up inside our Adamic nature. Yeah, so he said any Christian that dies to the flesh cannot be overcome, or cannot suffer from those ancestral causes. Yeah. Yeah. So he said our death to self equals termination of ancestral causes. Ancestral witchcraft. I'm talking about bloodline causes. Yeah. So the more you are able to live a life that is not according to the flesh, the more you overcome and suppress and subdue ancestral darkness, all forms of ancestral darkness. In fact, the Lord even went further to say that all the consequences of the things you did when you are still in the world, all the consequences of all the wrong lifestyle you lived when you were still a sinner, when you were not yet born again, Yeah, he said all of those consequences will also die when your flesh dies. Yeah. Yeah, so whatever it is that you have done when you were a sinner, the consequences of those things, the end, when you stopped living in the flesh. Yeah, so which means that if today you go back into being carnal, you go back into the realm of the flesh, expect that all those ancestral causes, expect that they will come back to life in your life. They will continue to walk and operate again. Yeah, so one of the greatest remedies God has given to us is the ability to crucify our flesh, our damaged nature. Yeah. So if you are able to do that, if you are able to stop your hunger forever, then it means that you have stopped ancestral witchcraft that is running through your blood. If you're able to stop all those manifestations of the flesh, all those works of the flesh, is equal to you stopping all the ancestral evil in your bloodline. Yeah. That is the first remedy. Apart from when you now go into fastings and prayers, that the Lord should disconnect you or disconnect your blood from the flow of witchcraft in your bloodline. Yeah, you can now take that prayer point to God in prayer and say, "Oh Lord, disconnect my blood from the flow of witchcraft that is running in my bloodline." And then you will also say, "Oh Lord, uproot every witchcraft hiding inside my blood." Yeah. Yeah. But the first is to defeat the flesh. That's the first remedy. So now let's look at the next scripture I want us to look at before we go round off the teaching. Open your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus 18. And we are going to read from 24 to 28 verse, from verse 24 to 28. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. Verse 28. That the land spew not you out also, when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. Yeah, so God was giving a lot of instructions in that Leviticus chapter 19. You can read from verse 1. You will see all those instructions God was giving to the people. Don't sleep with animals. Man should not sleep with man. Woman should not have sexual relations with women, with woman of their kind. Many instructions. Father should not sleep with his daughter, or an husband should not sleep with his sister-in-law. All kinds of instructions. Yeah. And God was saying that all the nations that he had sent the Israelites to go and conquer, God was telling them that those nations, they were practicing all of those abominations. And he mentioned something. He said the land was defiled. Yeah. So God did not just hand over the land of Canaan to the Israelites because he loved them so much, or because they needed a good land to live. One of the reasons why God handed over the lands of those nations to the Israelites was because the inhabitants of those land, they were committing abominations. So which many of them were mentioned in Leviticus chapter 19 from verse 1. So they were committing abominations that polluted the land that they were, So their sins have gotten to a point whereby the land could no longer hold it. I mean, the sins of the people on those lands have gotten to a point whereby the lands where they dwell in could no longer hold their sins. And then God said, the land must spew them out. That is, the land must vomit them out. And what does that mean? It means they must all be killed. They must all be slaughtered. They must all be destroyed. That is the only way to cleanse the land. Yeah, so now God was telling the Israelites that if you now possess these lands that those people polluted, if you possessed the land and now begin to repeat the same sins they repeated, what happened to them will also happen to you, the Israelites. I don't know if you're getting my point. So God was telling the Israelites that when you reach that land, when you conquer the land and kill those people and possess the land, don't repeat the abominations those people did. Because if you do so, it means you also will be wasted from the land. Yeah. And this scripture or this divine standard is still applicable, or maybe I should say is still working, is still applicable to our present generation. It is a divine truth that abides forever. So which means that if in a country people continued to commit sin, immoralities, and abominations, and they refused to repent, they will also be wasted from the land, because their sins will pollute the land. So this scripture is still for this generation. It's not just for the Old Testament. It is forever true, and it affects all mankind. Or this scripture, yeah, it affects all mankind as long as we are still living in this earth. So now, where am I going? You know, we are talking about witchcraft and bloodline. Yeah. My point, or maybe I should say, what I want to bring out from these verses I have read, is that we will not be able to deliver our land from witchcraft if we continue to repeat the sins of our ancestors. We will not be able to deliver our communities, our country, our land from the influence and control of witchcraft if we keep repeating the errors of our ancestors, the errors of those people who once lived on those land and practiced witchcraft on those lands. If we continue to repeat the idolatry they did, the fornication they did, the adultery they did, all the sins they did, if we continue to repeat the same, then there's no how our lands will be delivered from the control of witchcraft. And if our lands is not delivered, then it means that prosperity will be far from the land. Peace will be far from the land. Good things will be far from the land. Even from wherever you are living, whether it's a city or village or town. Yeah, it means good things will be far. Even revival will be far from that land. It will be difficult for God to visit that kind of environment if we continue to repeat the sins and errors of those people who once lived on that land. Because there's a way the darkness buried in the land, there's a way it rises to possess the people. I'm going to run down with this. Yeah. You know, there was a time that a lot of Nigerian pastors, and of course, African pastors, there was a time they migrated to the United States, to United States of America. Yeah. But before they migrated, these pastors, they were preachers of holiness. These pastors, they loved God so much. They preached the truth. They uphold the standard and principles of the Bible. Yeah, but when they reached America, the darkness in the land of America, because for years, the people in America turned into committing abominations. Some of those abominations were even mentioned in Leviticus 18. So the land is so filled with darkness. And the darkness in the land is ready to possess and control anyone that entered into that land. So when those pastors from Nigeria and from other places in Africa, when they entered the land of America, that American spirit possessed them. And the things they believed before, they began to speak contrary to what they have believed before. They began to teach contrary to what they have believed before. So they began to turn the scriptures upside down. So the truth they once upheld and stood for, they began to corrupt that truth. So they were influenced by the darkness of the land. Yeah. So be careful to not allow the darkness in your environment control you. Yeah. That is how you will escape the judgment of God that is coming on the people who have polluted the land with their sins. Yeah, so I'm going to stop here. You might have questions you can ask on our Telegram platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you're so faithful. Thank you for showing us how our bloodline is full of all forms of darkness and corruption and pollution. And thank you for showing us how to deal with that corruption. Because now we belong to another bloodline, which is the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for showing us these things. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I pray for you that every darkness that is prevailing in your blood, that is making your connection with God, your relationship with God, to be so hard and difficult, I decree that the fire of the Holy Ghost eliminates them in the name of Jesus. Every witchcraft in your blood that is manifesting through your character, your emotions, your thoughts, your even manifesting through your spiritual gifts, I decree that they disappear right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that every repentance you need to do and every self denial, self-death you need to do to be completely free from ancestral corruption, ancestral slavery, ancestral causes, ancestral covenants, I pray that you receive grace to do them all now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.
time.